Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A joyous celebration in Massachusetts, a rout in North Africa, and a great voice still. It's August 1921.
100 years from today.
Your world news update, the voice of the century is no more. Enrico Caruso, the most beloved operatic tenor in the world, has died at the Grand Hotel Vesuvio in Naples, where he was staying en route to see his doctors in Rome. Signor Caruso was 48. Take thou this rose, this little tender rose, the rarest flower in all God's garden fair. God has taken this rarest flower. Signor Caruso's doctors say the cause was peritonitis. He had been scheduled for emergency surgery but died before he could be taken to hospital. No sooner had he left us than his body, in evening dress as if for a recital, was put on display in the hotel lobby of the Vesuvio for thousands of mourners to file past. King Victor Emmanuel has given permission for the Royal Basilica of the Church of San Francesco di Paola to host Caruso's funeral. This is the sound of his magnificent voice on his last visit to the recording studio to sing Rossini's Petite Messe Solennelle. In Spain, riots have broken out and soldiers have mutinied against King Alfonso XIII after the humiliating defeat of the Spanish army by tribesmen in North Africa. The Spanish territories at Nadar and Silouan in Morocco have fallen to rebel forces following the devastating defeat inflicted upon the king's troops at the Battle of Anual. To date, over 2,000 square miles of territory have been taken by Rif tribesmen, and of 200 Spanish soldiers of the Celoan garrison, all but 9 have been killed. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. In the wake of the Upper Silesia plebiscite in March, an expert report by the Committee of the Allied Supreme Council has recommended redrawing the border between Poland and Germany. The greater part of the very valuable Upper Silesian industrial district has been awarded to Poland. In Italy, a pact of pacification has been signed between Signor Mussolini's growing fascist revolutionary party and the Italian Socialist Party and the General Confederation of Labour. In Germany, the National Socialist Workers' Party's security unit has been renamed the Turt- und Sportabteilung, which means the Gymnastic and Sports Department. Sounds very hearty. In the Soviet Union, the Cheka, the secret police, have arrested the great Russian poet Nikolai Gumilyov on charges of being a monarchist. He is likely to be executed. Bolshevism continues to spread around the world, including in the British Empire. In Cape Town, the first Congress of the South African Communist Party has just concluded. Following Westminster's offer to make Southern Ireland not merely a self-governing province within the United Kingdom, but a full dominion of the British Commonwealth, Eamon de Valera has summoned the members of his self-proclaimed Republican Parliament, the Dáil Éireann, to meet in Dublin to discuss the proposal. In accordance with the agreement reached in London, all Sinn Féin members of Mr. De Valera's so-called parliament, currently incarcerated, will be released from prison. In the United States, at Plymouth, Massachusetts, President Harding has presided over observances of the tercentenary of the Pilgrim's Landing on American soil. In difficult times, it is heartening to celebrate an occasion that has brought such unalloyed joy to Massachusetts and the nation. In more fractious news, Mr. Harding has informed a reluctant Congress that Secretary of State Hughes has concluded that the United States is obligated to lend $5 million to Liberia following the agreement made in September 1918.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air. You can make them hug and squeeze you too. Or if they don't, just say you won't come down until they do.
Is there nothing you can't do better up in the air? A feature of modern farming is the spraying of pesticides on fields and crops. Slow and tiresome work. But in a joint venture of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Army Signal Corps, pilot John McCready and engineer Etienne Dormoy have pulled off an historic first. They took off from McCook Field near Dayton, Ohio, and flew their Curtiss JN-4 aeroplane over a farm near Troy, Ohio, where they dropped lead arsenate to kill caterpillars. The Department of Agriculture is said to be very interested in the aerial application of pesticides. The United States Coast Guard has seized the British schooner, the Henry L. Marshall, in international waters, more than 3 miles off the coast of Atlantic City. On board, the Coast Guard found 12,000 cases of bootleg liquor. Transmitting written documents by telegraph across the Atlantic? It sounds like something from science fiction, yet it has happened. The so-called Berlinograph machine has been used in Europe, but this is the first time it has been employed in the Americas. A handwritten message from New York Times editor C.V. Van Ander was transmitted from Annapolis, Maryland. Seconds later, a printed facsimile of that message then rolled off the receiving machine at Malmaison near Paris. In sports news, a Chicago jury has rejected conspiracy charges against 8 members of the White Sox team to throw the 1919 World Series because prosecutors had failed to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. However, the men will not be returning to the ball field. Baseball officials say the preponderance of the evidence is sufficient to keep the former players out of the game forever. As Commissioner Landis put it, quote, regardless of the verdict of juries, no player that throws a ball game, no player that undertakes or promises to throw a ball game, no player that sits in a conference with a bunch of crooked players and gamblers where the ways and means of throwing games are planned and discussed and does not promptly tell his club about it will ever play professional baseball.
Takes me out to the ball game. Takes me out with the crowd. Oh, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the whole team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strike, you're out at the old ball game.
Take you out to the ball game? Who needs it? We can stay at home for the ball game. The enterprising broadcasting station KDKA has become the first to air a live baseball game, the Pittsburgh Pirates versus the Philadelphia Phillies at Forbes Field. As thousands of listeners tuned in, Harold Arlen of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company reported every twist and turn of the play until the final score, Pirates over the Phillies, 8-5. The English golfer James Douglas Edgar was one of the best players in the world of recent years. He won the French Open in 1914 and 2 years ago decided to emigrate to America. Almost immediately, he won the Canadian Open by a record 16 strokes. He was found lying in a pool of his own blood on Atlanta's famous Peachtree Street and died in the road before medical help could arrive. He leaves a wife and 2 children in England. Atlanta police say they are baffled by the mysterious death, but there are rumours Mr. Edgar was conducting an affair with a married woman in the city. He was 36. Vajiranana Vararaza was the 47th child of King Mongat of Siam by one of His Majesty's many concubines. He grew up to be his country's foremost intellectual philosopher and the preeminent codifier of institutional Buddhism. The supreme patriarch of Siam this last decade, Vajiranana Vararaza is dead at 61. Alexander Blok was an acclaimed Russian poet, but the Bolsheviks gave him a bad case of writer's block. Mr. Blok wrote no poetry at all these last 3 years. With his health in decline, his doctors recommended treatment abroad, but the Soviet government refused to let him leave the country. Maxim Gorky wrote on Mr. Blok's behalf to the first Soviet People's Commissar, Anatoly Lunacharsky. Quote, Blok is Russia's finest poet. If you forbid him to go abroad and he dies, you and your comrades will be guilty of his death. The Political Bureau of the Central Committee took their time, but eventually permission for Mr. and Mrs. Blok to leave Russia was signed by Comrade Molotov. The notice has just arrived. Unfortunately, Alexander Blok died 3 days ago. He was 40. Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The Allied Supreme Council has announced its neutrality in the Greco-Turkish War, effectively abandoning the year-old Treaty of Sèvres that had granted former Ottoman territory to Athens. In another blow to Allied authority, unable to settle the Silesian boundary between Germany and Poland, the Council has referred the matter to the League of Nations. The bloody humiliation of the Spanish army at the hands of Rif warriors of the Moroccan sands continues. After a 12-day siege, the Iberian forces of the Mount Ararat garrison near Al Arui were routed, and General Felipe Navarro y Ceballos Escalera and his 9-man staff were taken prisoner. After they had surrendered, 2,000 Spanish soldiers were killed by the victorious Moors. The Spanish cabinet has now resigned. We try to keep you up to date with all these new republics that are springing up hither and yon. The latest is the Baranya Baya Republic, which has been proclaimed on Hungarian territory, bordering the northern frontier of Serbia and currently occupied by troops of the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes. The founders of the new republic are Soviet-style socialists fleeing what they call the White Terror of Admiral Horthy's regime in Budapest. Bela Linda, the mayor of Pécs, has offered them his city as the new republic's capital. Across the border, His Majesty King Peter, last King of Serbia and first King of the Serbs, Croats and Slovenes, has died in Belgrade at the age of 77. His son and heir, Prince Alexander, is in hospital in France being treated for appendicitis and has announced that he will not be able to travel to Belgrade for his father's funeral. It is unclear also whether he will be able to return to take his oath of accession within the constitutionally prescribed time of 10 days. In order to access U.S. aid for its starving population, the Soviet Union has begun the release of American prisoners and turned over 6 U.S. citizens to the American Relief Administration in Estonia. The Bolshevik government has also announced a partial revocation of its prohibition of alcohol that will now permit the manufacture and sale of light wine and other beverages up to 28 proof alcohol. There is little to eat, but unlike America, you can at least have a drink on your empty stomach. Lord Byng of Vimy has arrived in Canada aboard the steamer Empress of France and taken up his office in Ottawa as the Dominion's new Governor General. Will we see a Governor General in Dublin? Prime Minister Lloyd George has released the correspondence between himself and Eamon de Valera, the leader of the Irish Republicans, Sinn Féin, containing the government's peace proposals for John Bull's other island. Mr. Lloyd George's plans offer Southern Ireland Dominion status equivalent to Canada or Australia, with complete authority over all domestic affairs and only defence and foreign policy reserved to London. In response, Mr. De Valera says he wants, quote, an amicable but absolute separation of Ireland from the United Kingdom, with the status of the new polity of Northern Ireland to be determined by a plebiscite of all Irish voters. Even as the so-called Republican Parliament, the Dáil Éireann, is in session at the Mansion House in Dublin to weigh the peace proposals, Mr. Lloyd George has reiterated that recognition of an Irish Republic is not in his gift. A permanent partition of Ireland is starting to be presumed. Up north, the new government has purchased for £15,000 Stormont, the handsome castle in the Scottish baronial style, intended as the seat of the new Parliament of Northern Ireland. In the United States, Illinois Governor Len Small has been arrested at the executive mansion in Springfield on charges of embezzlement while he was the state's treasurer. Sangamon County Sheriff Henry Mester came to the gubernatorial residence and took him to the local courthouse where the judge set bail at $50,000.
I'd rather be a private than a colonel in the army. A private has more fun when his day's work is done. And when he goes on hike, in every town he strikes, girls discover him and just smother him with things he likes. But girlies act so shy when colonel passes by. He holds his head so high with dignity. So would you rather be a colonel with an eagle on your shoulder or a private with a chicken on your knee?
Would you rather be a colonel with an eagle on your shoulder or a private with a chicken on your knee? Well, not if that chicken is federally regulated. President Harding has signed into law the Packers and Stockyards Act, authorizing the Federal Trade Commission to regulate any company engaging in interstate shipping of livestock, livestock products, dairy products, poultry, poultry products, and eggs.
In my sweet little Aliceville barn, when I first wandered down in the barn, I was so proud and shy, as I filled every eye, but in every shop window, I trimmed.
Alice was wearing a white gown, it seems. The president's father, Dr. Tryon Harding, has surprised the White House by unexpectedly marrying his longtime nurse and secretary, Alice Sevens. They drove from Marion, Ohio, across the Canadian border to Windsor, Ontario, for a marriage license, but were refused because they did not meet the new requirement of 3 months' residency. Dr. Harding and Miss Sevens then motored to Monroe, Michigan, where they were more successful. It is Dr. Harding's third marriage. His first wife, the mother of the future president, died in 1910. Dr. Harding divorced his second wife in 1916. His third wife is younger than her new son, the president. Mr. Harding's predecessor, former President Woodrow Wilson, is back practicing law. He has hung the shingle of Wilson and Colby at 1315 F Street in Washington. His partner in the new firm is the former Secretary of State Bainbridge Colby. Last year's unsuccessful Democrat vice presidential candidate, Franklin D. Roosevelt, is reported to have been taken ill at his summer home on Campobello Island, which is part of the Canadian province of New Brunswick, but located just off the main coast from Lubeck, the easternmost town in the United States. Mr. Roosevelt is said to be suffering from fever and facial paralysis and other serious-sounding symptoms, but his doctor says it's just a summer cold.
I was growing very fond of Molly when along came Ruth, along came Ruth. I thought an awful lot of Dolly. When Ruth came along, my head began to merry-go-round. I almost married Polly. I was making love to May when along came Ruth, and to tell the truth, she stole my heart away.
Along came Ruth, and an hour later, a Catholic priest is dead at the hands of a Methodist pastor. In Birmingham, Alabama, Father James Coyle, an Irish Catholic, had just married Ruth Stevenson to Pedro Guzman, a Catholic from Puerto Rico. Miss Stevenson is the daughter of Pastor E.R. Stevenson of the Southern Methodist Episcopal Church and an enthusiastic Ku Klux Klansman. Just an hour after the wedding, Pastor Stevenson arrived and fired three shots at Father Coyle on the porch of the rectory at St. Paul's Cathedral in Birmingham. In sports news, the Schneider Trophy for Flying Boats and Seaplanes has been won at Venice by Giovanni De Briganti in a Mackie M7 flying at an average speed of 117.9 miles per hour. The SS Moerdijk of the Holland-America Steamship Line has set a new world speed record, completing a voyage from London to Los Angeles in only 24 days and 12 hours. There will be no more races for the 1919 US motorcycle champion, Albert Shrimp Burns. He survived crashes that would have finished lesser men, and this very season had been severely injured and riddled with splinters from the new wood track at Beverly Hills, California. Nevertheless, he rallied to compete in the day's last race on a borrowed cycle and with his arms fully bandaged, and he won. There was no such triumph over the odds at Toledo, Ohio. He came out of a turn badly, crashed into another motorcycle, and then hit the railing, sustaining massive head injuries. His fiancée, Miss Genevieve Moritz, had come to Toledo with a belated birthday gift and witnessed the crash. Albert Burns is dead just 2 days after his 33rd birthday. Colonel Samuel Pom Colt was the rubber baron who founded the United States Rubber Company, the nation's largest. He is dead at 69. Harriet Prescott Spofford was a prodigious writer of Gothic romances told in luxuriant language of intense emotion and intimate sensuality. It was a unique style, and not to everyone's taste. As Miss Emily Dickinson once remarked, I read Miss Prescott's Circumstance, but it followed me in the dark, so I avoided her. Harriet Prescott Spofford is dead at 86. Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. The brand new Baranya Baya Republic on the Hungarian border with Serbia has collapsed after just 6 days, and Admiral Horthy's men have reincorporated its territory into Hungary. Washington and Vienna have signed a treaty ending the state of war between the United States and Austria, just 3 years after the actual enemy, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, ceased to exist. The Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes has a new monarch. King Alexander took the oath of accession from his hospital bed in Paris, where he is being treated for appendicitis. His stricken majesty said, I proclaim to my dear people that I shall be faithful to my father's ideals and shall watch over the constitutional liberties and rights of citizens and defend the unity of the state. He added, being prevented by illness from attending the obsequies of my father and exercising the royal authority, I charge my cabinet to act for me in the exercise of the royal power and to follow my instructions until my return to the country. In Berlin, police burst into the apartment of Karl Grossmann after neighbours reported hearing screams and then silence. They found a young woman dead on his bed and bloodstains indicating other persons had recently been killed there. Herr Grossmann is believed to have murdered and dismembered at least 20 women, throwing their bones into the canal near Andreasplatz and using their flesh for the sausages he sold at the food stand near the train station. The treaty creating the Permanent Court of International Justice has come into effect following the 24th vote to ratify it from the government of Spain. Whether it enjoys widespread international support is doubtful. A quarter of those ratifying votes are from Great Britain and the British Dominions. Terror in the Malabar region of India. A rebellion is underway, and preliminary reports say that 2 British officers and 9 Indian officials are dead at Tirurangadi. The rebels are attacking not only Englishmen serving the Raj, but also the high caste Hindus on whom the King Emperor's local administration relies. Muslim men are demanding Hindus convert to Islam or be killed. Following the British-backed coup by Reza Khan and the Persian Cossack Brigade earlier this year, rebels from the opposing pro-Bolshevik Republic of Gilan have now been forced to abandon the town of Rasht in Persia. The Emir of Riyadh, Abdul Aziz ibn Saud, has proclaimed a new Sultanate of Nejd in the Arabian Peninsula. He is thought to have broader territorial designs. Do you like these Hashemite princes? A lot of British chaps are very partial to them. They've just installed one of them, Faisal, as king in Baghdad to rule the new British League of Nations mandate in Mesopotamia. As to that other British mandate, Prime Minister Lloyd George and his cabinet have been meeting to discuss whether to maintain the commitment made in the Balfour Declaration to create a Jewish state in the ancient Jewish homeland in Palestine. The Secretary of State for the Colonies, Mr. Winston Churchill, has received intelligence that both Arabs and Jews are securing weapons in preparation for a war in the territory. The Prime Minister invited his cabinet to consider whether to withdraw from the Balfour Declaration and create an Arab government similar to that in Baghdad, or to pursue the declaration and create a Jewish army in Palestine. The British Isles have their own sectarian divisions. Because of the rebellion in Ireland, it was not possible to take a census there. In Great Britain, however, the population is estimated at 42,767,530. Because of losses during the Great War, women now outnumber men by 22 million to 20 million.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air. You can make them hug and squeeze you too. Or if they don't, just say you won't come down until they do.
The world's largest airship, R-38, was up in the air. It was scheduled to be delivered this month from Britain to its new owners, the US Navy, and was undergoing a few final trial flights from the Howden Air Station in Yorkshire. After a full day aloft, the R-38 exploded in mid-air and fell into the Humber Estuary. 44 of its 49-man crew are dead, among them Royal Air Force Commodore Edward Maitland, a great aviation pioneer and promoter of balloons and airships in particular. In the Prime Minister's office in Latvia, Maxim Litvinov, the Soviet Union's foreign minister, and Walter Lloyd Brown of the American Relief Administration have signed the terms of an agreement for the Americans to provide aid to relieve the starving Russians in the Russian famine. This is the first ever agreement between the United States and the Bolshevik regime.
Dear old Southland, for you my heart is yearning, and I long just to see once more.
In the dear old Southland of the United States, Frank Martin, a Negro accused of the sexual assault of a white schoolteacher in Tennessee, was taken to the Knox County Jail. A lynch mob, 3,000 strong, then surrounded the jailhouse and demanded Mr. Martin be surrendered to their custody. Sheriff William Cate came outside and warned the crowd not to cross an imaginary line between two telegraph poles. When a dozen of the men defied him, Sheriff Cate and four deputies fired shotguns into the air and were in turn fired upon by some of the mob. The deputies returned fire, wounding at least 26 people. Dimitrios Rallis was Prime Minister of Greece for the first time in the 1890s, and most recently was Prime Minister of Greece just this past February. It was his ministry that oversaw the plebiscite that returned King Constantine to the throne. Mr. Rallis is dead at the age of 81. Sir Samuel Cleland Davidson started in his father's tea business in Assam, which pioneered the tea industry in India and helped make tea drinkers in the British Empire less dependent on China. He came home to Ireland, and in the course of him proving his tea business, invented the first industrial air purification and cooling systems. A committed unionist, he nevertheless employed both loyalists and nationalists at his famous Sirocco factory in Belfast and resisted all demands to sack his Catholic employees. Sir Samuel never recovered from the death of his son and heir on the Somme in 1916. He is dead at the age of 74. The war is over. For real. The US-German peace treaty has been signed in Berlin, officially bringing the great war between Germany and the United States to an end for both parties. Elsewhere, the messy aftermath of the World War continues. The disputed territory of Burgenland is known to some as the easternmost province of Austria and to others as German West Hungary and to others still as a putative Czechoslovak corridor to the new kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes. On the very day when Burgenland was due to be awarded to Austria under the terms of the Treaty of Trianon, Hungarian insurgents led by a Captain Hayas took the town of Odenburg and engaged Austrian soldiers at Argendorf and Pinkerfeld. 3 years ago, Matthias Erzberger signed the armistice ending the World War on behalf of a defeated Germany. Until last year, he was finance minister in Berlin. He is dead at the age of 45, having been assassinated while on holiday in the Black Forest. He was strolling at Bad Griesbach with a fellow member of the Reichstag when he was shot 12 times by two men believed to be members of the terror group Organisation Consul. They have escaped. Friedrich Schumann, the German murderer convicted of the deaths of seven people, has been executed at the Plötzensee prison. The executioner, Karl Gruppler, decapitated Schumann with a single blow of his axe. 62 Russians have been executed for a supposed monarchist conspiracy that does not appear to exist in reality but was conjured into being by the Soviet authorities. Among the dead is Nikolai Gumilyov, the widely acclaimed Russian poet and a man with little patience for those he dubbed, quote, half-literate Bolsheviks. He was seen in public making the sign of the cross and arrested shortly thereafter. Mr. Gumilyov was 35. Further military humiliation for Spain at the hands of Moroccan tribesmen. RIF rebels have taken the garrison at Arba el Kola and killed another 200 Spanish soldiers. First, there was the Australian Flying Corps, then the Australian Air Corps. Earlier this year, it became the Australian Air Force, and now His Majesty the King has been graciously pleased to approve of the said force being designated henceforth as the Royal Australian Air Force, the second Royal Air Arm to be formed in the British Empire. Also in Australian news, from that most agreeable state of Victoria, legislative elections have seen Mr. Harry Lawson's minority nationalist ministry returned to power. Another minority. In a further twist to Irish peace negotiations with London, Eamon de Valera has resigned as president of the Dáil Éireann, the nationalist parliament unrecognised by other states, and asked its members to elect him as the first, quote, president of the, quote, Irish Republic. Mr. de Valera has told his colleagues that he is the Irish equivalent of the king, which will come as a surprise to His Majesty, who regards the Irish equivalent of the King as being the King. In the United States, rumours swirl about the former Secretary of the Navy and Democrat presidential candidate Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was taken ill last month while summering at the family home on Campobello Island, just off the main coast, but in the Canadian province of New Brunswick. Mr. Roosevelt is said to be paralysed, and although the family doctor diagnosed the illness as merely a summer cold, eminent specialists from Boston and beyond are reported to have made their way to Campobello.
Dirty hands, dirty face, leads our neighbours astray, but his smile is as cute as can be. Dirty hands, dirty face, little devil they say, but to me he's an angel of joy. But it's different now, the dirty little hands.
Dirty hands, dirty face, and now for West Virginia miners, a dirty war. The largest uprising by disaffected workers in American history is underway in Logan County. At Blair Mountain, 10,000 miners are in armed conflict with about 3,000 strikebreakers and police authorities. The conflict has been brewing since the murder in cold blood by private detectives of Police Chief Sid Hatfield and his friend Ed Chambers on the courthouse steps in the presence of their wives earlier this month. After threatening to bomb the rebels with the military's Martin biplanes, President Harding has instead ordered the miners to disperse within 48 hours or he will declare martial law and send in the troops. The ocean liner SS Prince Friedrich Wilhelm was surrendered at the end of the war to the British, who gave it to the Americans for use as a troop transport to bring the doughboys home. The Americans then leased it to the Canadian Pacific Line, who liked it so much they bought it and renamed it the SS Empress of India. In turn, it has now been chartered from Canadian Pacific by Cunard and is on its maiden Cunard voyage across the Atlantic from Southampton to New York. Broadway has its first million-dollar theatre, no, not for plays and musical comedies, but for vaudeville and photo plays. Lowe's State Theatre can seat over 3,000 customers and is the brainchild of Marcus Lowe, owner not only of Lowe's Theatres, but of the California studio Metro Pictures. Many of those larger-than-life stars were on hand for the gala opening, among them Theda Bara, Billy Burke, Ethel and Lionel Barrymore, and, of course, Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford. Speaking of moving pictures, when those scenes are photographed, much of the lighting comes from mercury vapor lamps. The inventor of those lamps, Peter Cooper Hewitt, is dead at the age of 60.
I've got 10 little fingers and 10 little toes down in Tennessee waiting there for me. I never had a baby, call me Dada. How proud I know I'll be when I hear it calling me. Oh, gee, I'll miss every finger. I'll kiss every toe. At home, sweet home, I'll linger, for they'll need me there, I know. Although it only weighs 10 pounds and just one day old, I wouldn't give it up for all the world and its gold. For I've got 10 little fingers and 10 little toes waiting down in Tennessee for me.
No 10 little fingers for Jose Manuel Hernandez. He was known as El Mojo, the handless, after his right hand was crippled in battle. In the turbulent politics of Venezuela, he became a sometime congressman, cabinet minister, presidential candidate, but above all, a lifelong caudillo and organizer of armed insurrections against whomsoever happened to be in power. He is dead at 68. Sándor Huicola was the first non-nobleman to serve as Prime Minister of Hungary, initially in the 1890s, again in the first decade of this century, and finally at the end of the World War. Most recently, he was a hostage of the short-lived Hungarian Soviet Republic. He is dead at 72. Joel Asaph Allen was an eminent American ornithologist known for Allen's rule, which states that warm-blooded animals vary in size and shape according to the climate, expanding their surface area in hot climates to release heat and contracting their surface area in cold climates to retain it. Mr. Allen is dead at 83. Just a song at twilight when the lights are low. The lights at twilight are not as low as they once were. Frederick Upham Adams wrote a social reform novel and was leader of the Majority Rule League of the United States, arguing for direct legislation by majority vote. Neither the novel nor the political movement are much remembered, but we can all be grateful to Mr. Adams for his invention in 1886 of the electric lamp post, now a familiar sight on American streets. Frederick Upham Adams' light is extinguished at 62. And that's the way of the world, August 1921.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.